Good evening, ladies and gentlefers. Welcome to the South Africa podcast. You're listening to myself, Ivic Wolf, here. And tonight we have a very special podcast in that we have Moms of Furries all the way from America with us this evening. Thank you two for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. We are excited.
All right. And of course, as always, my co-host, who is unfortunately relatively sick, is Scratch.
I'm here. I'm here in flesh, not so much in spirit.
Oh, you're here in spirit rather than in flesh, because if you were here in flesh, you'd be in my house.
That would be nice. That would be nice.
I mean, like, nice hot showers for like longer than 2 minutes.
Go away. Don't remind me.
I
just want to take a bath. I want to take like an hour long bath. So listen to bad music playing my Switch in the tub.
Drink some nice tea.
So, why don't you guys tell us a little bit about yourselves? Like, what exactly? Well, let's first start. Like, how did parents of furries or moms of furries actually become a thing? What was the sort of play behind everything?
Okay. Well, we have kids that attend the same school, and they're friends, and we became friends through that interaction. Mm-hmm. And they told us that they were furries, and we sort of had the typical, I would think, response that, oh, it sounds questionable, it's iffy, what is that, is it fetish? We did some research and found that it really isn't.
Well, I was actually more negative. You went straight to research. I went straight to absolutely not. That's inappropriate.
Well, I can't say that I necessarily went straight to research. I went straight to YouTube and watched some dance competitions. Okay. And I saw kids there and everyone was having a great time. And I said, this cannot be all bad. This is good. So I suggested to Joelle, hey, we could do a great trip with our teens. You know, as kids start to get older, they start to become their own person and pull away a bit from parents, and that's normal. But I said this would be a great way for us to connect with our teens. We can go have moms and kids, just the two of us.
We have other children, and we rarely get to spend time just solely with
right.
the teens.
Quality time focused on the teens. So it was from that perspective that we went to our first con. And then as soon as we walked in.
Well, I mean, as soon as we drove up to the hotel in San Jose, California, we were smitten. We saw suitors, and it was just, we use the term magical all of the time, but that's the only way to describe how we felt. Immediately, we were in love.
Right. And we had such an amazing experience that first time. And we met another parent who was there with his daughter and her best friend and was showing off the hand paws that they'd made. And he had such pride. But we really didn't meet a lot of parents. And we assumed, and I think appropriately, that many parents have the same reaction we do, that this is weird or this is fetish or whatever. I'm not going to be a part of it. And we just decided, actually, Joelle suggested, we need to put out a YouTube video. We need to tell parents that this is not weird. This is really cool. Do this with your kid. Don't feel scared or uneasy. If your kid wants to do this, it's great. And it just sort of snowballed.
Right. And I feel like we're still in an evolution because we didn't approach this as a project or an organization. We approached it just simply as the one and done video.
We certainly thought that. But then it inspired conversations and more questions and what does this mean? And we heard terminology and we wanted other parents to know, if you hear these words, this is great or this is something to be aware of.
Right. And we wanted to stress that it wasn't something to be afraid of, just be aware. So if your child, you know, if you hear these terms or you see these things, you need to have a conversation because that's more adult. They're probably not going to be ready for that yet, or you don't want them around that. But there's such a large community that's absolutely appropriate and a lot of fun for their teens, especially, which is where we started our focus. But I mean, I guess kids in general, but really when we talk young furs, we're also thinking like our teenager, like preteen to teen.
I think teens are the sweet spot for jumping into a fandom and really attending a con. And we have taken our 9-year-olds to certain bits of the con here at BLFC. We took them to a dance competition and we walked them around in the hallways and let them see furries. But I think that for us, that feels a bit young just because there's a lot to see, and younger kids do need a lot more hands-on care. I think for us, the sweet spot is definitely teens, young teens, to get started in the fandom and really feel good about it.
Mm. All right. So, I mean, that's very, very commendable, the sort of information that you guys have gathered in respect to this. I mean, how many other, for instance, like, what would I call it? Other parents have you actively been able to speak to in respect to this? Like, and what was their sort of feeling about this? And what's sort of the best way to actually sort of talk to parents about this from, you know, being a furry, for instance, talking to non-furry parents? How would you sort of approach that? How would you sort of say or tell somebody to go and approach that kind of conversation?
Well, some kids have told us that they've actually used our videos to show their parents because we explain it very matter-of-factly.
And from a parent's perspective.
Right, from a parent's perspective. But how I would approach someone is I don't say, do you know about the fandom? I say, do you know what a furry is? If they say no, then I would then explain it's somebody who is excited by anthropomorphic arts and animals, things like that, and approach it from that perspective. If somebody were to respond to me, yeah, I know what furry is, and kind of let me know that they think that it's weird or not appropriate, then that still leads me into explaining what the fandom really is.
And how great it is and how we love it. And she's speaking from experience because she asks people all the time.
I do. So everywhere we go, Joelle sees furries. But when we go out and about, I have no problem asking. I mean, we were at the doctor's office with my kid, and I said, are you a furry? Do you know what furry is? Because I just had that feeling.
Right. And we've been asked by children or teens, like, how do I tell my parents? I think it's difficult. I think it is difficult, especially if they have a preconceived notion that this is this very adult and not even like a typical adult in environment, but a very inappropriate or weird environment. I think it's difficult, but.
Or kids will ask us, should I tell my parents? And that's an impossible question for us to answer. Every family is different.
Well, I mean, and then I know that there are people such as Rage Hound that she states that she approached it like, I'm into cosplay. And because it's, for whatever reason, more accepted, and that's ridiculous to us because it's very similar. It's just another fandom.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't think that Rage Hound is ridiculous, but idea that you have to pretend is, we love Rage Hound.
We love her. So I think that it depends on the family situation. It depends on how strongly the parents feel. We did a poll recently, and I mean, it was very informal, you know, very unscientific. But we received around 1,000 responses, and it was interesting to us because we had about a third of the people say, I don't share that information with my family. Mm-hmm. And then a third said, oh, no, they're supportive, or they don't care enough that it's kind of supportive, I guess, right?
Right.
And then a third was...
Never.
I will never tell them, ever.
Never.
Yeah.
More
to do with the what's the word? Again, like, parents are conservative in many sort of respects, and it's not necessarily a bad thing that parents are a bit more conservative. There are some very, very good things that come from conservatism in some parents. Is that, like, it's the idea of protecting kids from legitimate worries. And If you type in furry into the internet and you literally go like, okay, cool, Google furry, like, maybe the first two or three search, if I had to do this now, actually, furry search,
yeah,
covered with fur, yeah. Urban Dictionary furry. I mean, like, when an Urban Dictionary thing comes up first, you, weirdly enough, the
point.
Urban...
That's a good point. If it pops up in Urban Dictionary, it would immediately give me cause for concern.
Yeah, but weirdly enough, it's just the highest rated search into Urban Dictionary. The very first definition is, there is no one single definition for what a furry is. Even without the furry fandom, people cannot always agree on just what makes a person a furry or not. Some would argue that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's actually a very, very nice argument.
Oh, and yeah. That's how we feel, because it's such a wide gamut, from people who just enjoy anthropomorphic, you know, movies like Zootopia, right, or whatever, all the way to suitors and makers and lifestylers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So it is interesting, and it's a very interesting fandom.
Mm. I mean, in all the definitions, actually, if I look at Urban Dictionary right now, scrolling down is 2005, 2007. So these have been around for ages. And weirdly enough, every single one of them does sort of, those who do not enjoy, for instance, the adult side of furry are like those who participate in any other fetish or behavior, or almost always harmless in their indulgence. So I'm actually quite surprised that the Urban Dictionary thing doesn't immediately just have like troll posts everywhere. And then Wikipedia has an article, and I think the Wikipedia article itself is very, very well managed. And it's one of the things that I think Wikipedia does very, very well is that it's, because it's open content, people can sort of add depending on the kind of information. And I think the Wikipedia article in and of itself speaks relatively midline in respect to what furries are, and speaks about public perception.
Joelle's child went to Wikipedia first to find out what the fandom was.
Right.
So that was a good resource for her.
Right. She said that, you know, she always takes their pages with a grain of salt, if you will, simply because it is, you know, community posting and adding and whatnot. But that was where she got the basic information, and it allowed her to do some searching.
A springboard.
It was a springboard. Yeah.
And what's it? There's a Vox. I think I'm good. Yes. Thank you. Sorry. random people from outside. I say random people from outside, fiance. But okay, don't look at me like that. But yeah, so I mean, like, and there's a Vox post here, 9 questions about furries you are too embarrassed to ask. What's the deal with furries? And in fact, the Psychology Today article, the one from July of last year, is actually very, very interesting, because it actually it's based on Dr. Courtney Plant's social psychology. Yeah, Nuka. So there's a large amount of information out there that isn't all bad about the word furry, for instance. But
yeah.
And even if you go into images, it's okay, cool. I don't want to see that as my third picture.
Yep.
Well, yeah. You say that, and I will tell you, we have a friend, when we first started this, we told her, you know, go onto YouTube and look for moms of furries. And she looked up furry moms, and she found some interesting videos. I like to think, though, the tide is kind of turning. I mean, I do see a lot of things that show that it is, we try to stay away from the word mainstream, because it will always be atypical, because it's not a typical fandom, and or, you know, not everyone's into it. But it does seem that the younger generation coming into it, like the teenage, they're just like, they're the ones we hear mostly saying, why do we need to come out? It's just a hobby. It's just a fandom.
Which is an excellent point.
Right. You know, so we do see the tide turning a bit, that it is hopefully becoming more widely acceptable. Now, that could be our perception because we are now more into the fandom.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that, you know, I was at the big box store this morning, and there was a big bin of heads. So,
that horrifies my daughter, by the way.
I know it does. I know. I put one on, and my son said, no, mother, take it off, take it off. And I got a little aggressive. But I think that speaks to it being more mainstream. There's a market for people that want fursuits, fur heads. And if these big box stores are tapping into it, that's because
it's becoming more widely acceptable.
There's a big enough market for them to do that.
That for them to make some revenue from the
food. Right.
But of course, the issue there is a large, very, very high sort of, like, I mean, what's it? There have been many, many people who've been trying to make mainstream fursuits and things like that, and copying other people's designs.
Stealing work, right.
Yeah. It's literally stealing work. And the thing is that, like, it's very, very stupid that that what could consider that, you know what, we're a group of adults and you don't want to, well, a large amount of people who are actually creating content, for instance, are adults, know the issues in respect to copyright law, for instance, and so on and so forth. And when you create a company that actually brings out fursuits, you know, yearly or, you know, bi-yearly or how many ever fursuits you actually produce, that of course they know their sort of rights and their laws and things like that. And that's something that that does need to be given to people who are, say, 16. I mean, I know a large amount of people in South Africa, for instance, who are creating content. And at what point are they able to, as a person who's, you know, a young entrepreneur, like, when do you know or understand what the laws are and what they sort of stand for instance?
That's a fair point.
It's a very fair point. And it's something that we've been really careful with and trying to model that behavior for other young furries, because people have created beautiful art for us and it's wonderful. And we are always very careful. Can we use this art in something that we're doing? Because we wouldn't want to steal or not credit work that's been done. I mean, these are artists. They're doing beautiful things.
Well, and I think that's a great point about younger people creating this content, because even adults are fighting, you know, mass producers stealing. If they're not stealing their actual design, they're at least stealing the images and kind of doing a bait and switch. And that happens a lot. And so as adults, knowing your rights, you're still fighting with people who are trying to take advantage of your hard work. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's unsettling.
It is. But you're right. I don't know. Younger kids should be coached. There should be, like, I wish that we could just do, like, worldwide mentorships, you know?
Well, which is why it would be great if more parents were involved in the fandom with their kids, because they could help guide them as we try to do with our children. This is a great idea, and this is someone else's art, so we would not steal that. You can be inspired, but that's very different than just copying somebody's work.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's completely true.
Huh.
It's strange that something like, so not to put them on the same level, because they are, but they do share a little bit of similarities. But something like Pokemon is so incredibly, like, friendly to get into, and it's cross generational to the point that it's like borderline Star Wars levels of, like, successful when it comes to uniting families under the same banner.
Yeah.
And it would be nice if furries could be something similar to that, I think.
I agree.
I do too. And I don't, it's funny because I think that some people are a little nervous of that because they enjoy that the fandom,
the exclusivity.
It is exclusive. It is niche, and they don't want everyone to know their best kept secret.
All right.
Yeah, but to continue the fandom, you need to continue bring in more the next generation and usher them in. And it would be great if they were ushered in under the guidance of responsible fans that say, this is appropriate, this is not appropriate, you know.
Right.
But once again, we go back to those kids coming up. We just really want to explain to the parents that it is okay to be, and it's actually great to just guide them through this, find out, be part of it. You don't have to love it. You don't have to be a furry or consider yourself a furry. Although I feel like it would be strange once you're involved that you don't find a love for it, because the community is amazing. But, you know, we really do want to get that message out there to parents that you can do this with your kid and you can help kind of guide them. It's another avenue for you to teach them about being a responsible adult while they're enjoying their love of this fandom.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many aspects of it because, you know, as I mentioned before, teens grow up in sort of a way. They become their own person. So this is a way you can connect with your teen. You can be a part of their interest, and you don't have to suit yourself, but you could just be a part of the fandom and understand what they're talking about, have those conversations. And it leads directly into then when your teen or your young furry wants a suit or they want to commission art, that you can help guide that process, because these artists are doing work in good faith, that they'll be paid, and the contract will be fulfilled appropriately. And if they're commissioning with a kid, there's very little recourse if something goes wrong.
Yeah. I strongly feel that they should not commission with children.
I agree.
I think that's dangerous for the creator, the maker, the artist. I think that it should have to be a binding contract with an adult, and that also forces the child to at least have an adult in their life that they can share this, because once what we talked about at one point, it kind of helps protect them and keep them safe if they have someone that they can talk to about it.
And we have actually seen this, because one of our friends that we met at BLFC this year, Halcyon, he is a teen, and he worked in a grocery store making money for a year, saved up his whole income, and wanted to commission a suit. And he had to tell his mom, because he needed to order and use her credit card. So this began their journey, and she explored, researched, and we have actually interviewed her. But it was that commissioning that brought her into the fandom with him, so that he could share this part of himself.
Yeah, she actually was our first parent interview that we posted on YouTube.
No, and I think that we're definitely going to sort of plug the Moms of Furries YouTube channel as much as we possibly can.
If there's a
particular video that you'd like us to share on our side, and possibly also use as information for us, because I mean, as we mentioned sort of before the interview, like when we were doing sound check and everything like that, like obviously from our side, from a South African perspective, the vast majority of our parents, for instance, are, you know, they're based in a particular mindset that is very sort of almost, if I had to put it in, or if I had to put it out there, you're looking at like 1970s, 1980s parents who may not necessarily...
Conservative Calvinism is usually what I prefer.
Very, very conservative Calvinism. South Africa is extremely conservative and Calvinist in respect to its the way that it thinks. And it's not to say that, you know, we're... I mean, imagine if I had to tell, you know, a parent, oh, no, but because you're a furry, that means that you're not going to be religious, for instance. That's stupid.
It's ridiculous. Like,
It is ridiculous. And there are so many people who are both furries and religious within our fandom, and they're perfectly fine. It's normal. It's not out of character, for instance.
I don't remember reading anything in the Bible about furries.
Yeah.
I don't think,
Well, I mean, especially not, what's the word, banning it.
Right, exactly. There's no reason the two can't coexist. We actually know quite a few furries that have a strong faith, and they are not mutually exclusive. They can go hand in hand.
We actually, there is one in particular that a lot of his philanthropy is involved in with his church and
group,
the events
yeah.
that they do.
Mm-hmm, and he appears in suit with the kids and gets them excited about whatever event they're having, so... Yeah,
they are definitely not mutually exclusive.
They are not.
I still remember, and this is going to be a very strange story, but there was a European fursuiter, and I think it was a couple of years back, that was in a children's hospital, and there was a little kid who was, I think she was, I'm not sure what sort of sickness she had, but it didn't necessarily seem that she was going to, you know, survive for very long. And this fursuiter was literally sitting there singing a little, you know, nursery rhyme for them. And it's little things like that.
Right, how can that be bad?
Yeah, it's really little things like that that make me sort of sit there, and I was bawling my eyes out. And I mean, Scratch will know, I'm a relatively emotional person.
Yes.
So, When I say I was bawling my eyes out, I don't think that I recovered for about a day after seeing the video. And I saw it like a whole bunch of times. And it's those little things that make me want to believe that there can be some sort of like a median struck. And issues with a furry fandom aside, and because there are many, it's about community. And that's something that I love about having you guys on. For instance, you're a very different type of part of the community. For instance, you want to help, in a way that I don't think, for a very long time, I don't think that I've actually seen people as willing as you are, for instance, to be able to sort of create media like this.
Thank you. Thank you. That's really meaningful. For us, it's funny because, and we've mentioned it before, but when we post pictures of our kids on Facebook, you know, you get lots of likes, comments from friends, family, whatever, and pretty much everything we've posted about the fandom, it's crickets.
You hear nothing.
Nothing. Like I shared yesterday, I said, oh, I'm going to share the post, the South Africa post about this radio show, this podcast. And Joel and I just looked at each other and I said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to put it on Facebook. I'm going to do it. And I did it. And I got one person gave me a like and nobody else did. And I think people are just uncomfortable. None of these people have taken the opportunity to research it or even to approach me with questions because I would happily explain it to them. So, you know, every day we're reminded that our mission is to share how great the fandom is and all the philanthropy. And what you said, your story really resonates. And every day I feel like we are seeing more and more of this. And AnthroCon going on right now. So there was that, I think it was a sandwich shop or a pizza shop, and he served food in dog dishes and was really, I can't remember the name of the shop, but it's a prominent shop right there, and all of the furries would go there, and he would run furry specials and welcome the furries, and I guess a few years back, he fell on hard times, and he was facing closing the restaurant, and the furry fandom banded together to collect money and help this gentleman so he could keep his restaurant open. That's amazing for a fandom to do. It's so inspiring that they care.
Yeah.
I feel like we have had just unbelievable support because let's face it, we're a couple of moms.
Right.
The response could have been, oh my gosh, get out of our fandom. Ugh.
Get out of our hot tub.
Yeah. we're not sure if you've heard
the
hot tub story.
I want a hot tub story.
I want a hot tub story.
I want a hot tub story.
Badge, I want a hot tub story.
Okay, so our first convention, of course, was Further Confusion and at San Jose in January. And so we went, and we were fortunate because we had another older team there that is very independent and very responsible. And so we allowed our two teens to go with their friend and walk around the con a little bit while we relaxed in the room. And our view was of the hot tub. Like the hot tub was outside of our window.
It was very awkward.
So we were watching like stalkers. It was crazy to see like a spot for us to run out there and enjoy the hot tub without, you know, messing with anybody's vibe.
Right.
So we thought we had an opportunity. It looked like the people that were there were drying off to leave. So we hurried up and got our suits on and we ran down the hall to go out to the hot tub. And we were wrong. They were still enjoying the hot tub.
Yeah, there were three young men in there.
And they were having a great conversation and enjoying the hot tub, the environment or whatever, the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. So we thought, heck with it. We're just going to get in and we're going to try to be as...
won't bother them.
We'll try not to
bother
them.
We'll stay in the corner.
But it was interesting because as we sat down, someone asked us, are you here with the convention? Because in that space in San Jose, there was a volleyball tournament thing. And
there were a few things going on.
For a con and something else. And we were like, yes, we are. And we struck up a conversation. And it was interesting because they gave us so much information about the fandom as far as the cons and the amount of
attendance and all of that.
Right. And so we sat in the hot tub probably a good half an hour chit-chatting with these furries, and they were so kind. And we obviously were like interrupting. We were. But they were so welcoming and kind to us that is the epitome of the reaction that we've received in the fandom. People want to share information with us. They want to tell us how they got into it. And they want people to know that it's this wonderful community for them. And of course there are issues. Every family has issues. Every community
has issues.
There's
always drama.
And it's a big fandom.
It is.
But overall, it's just the most welcoming and supportive group I've ever come in contact with.
Right. Mm. I have to agree. We haven't been trolled. We haven't had anybody say, you know,
I think
butt out.
Of everything that we've done, we've had two people say something.
But it was questionable. Nobody was has been aggressive with us.
No, just kind of leading us into a maybe negative. And we just avoid that. We're like, okay, that's fine. And right. walk away kind of thing. But overall, it's just been so positive.
Even when we crash somebody's hot tub party, they still are like.
Restrained Raptor.
Yeah. We love Restrained Raptor. So that was great because he helped give us that inspiration to make that first video. And if there was any video that I would want people to watch, it's that first one, because we were complete newbies. We were still, we had wide eyes. We were, you know.
There's a lot of airplane noise in that because we absolutely had no idea how to cut that out at that point, and we just wanted to post this video.
Very poor editing, not great lighting. The sound is terrible, but I think our moment is
so
important.
Excited.
Because it was new. It was new and exciting for us. And it was kind of, join this with us. This is great. Don't be afraid. Jump in. And I think that.
Jump into the hot tub?
Jump into the hot tub. Just do it.
Don't be afraid of the raptors. It's fine.
That's so cool.
Funny enough, later that night, I saw our raptor friend in clothing and had to ask for directions because we are those moms sometimes.
We are definitely moms. Help us.
Where do we go?
There's literally a raptor listening right now. He's like, raptors are awesome. Unbiased opinion.
We like raptors.
I feel like they were a big part of us making that decision. Like, these guys are just, they don't know us. And, you know, we're crashing their hot tub time, and they still were kind and sweet and lovely and inviting. So,
And I think the fandom has shown that consistently to us.
Yes. And we just want everybody to know how wonderful it is.
Right.
Mm. Yeah. Galahad says hello, by the way.
Oh,
that's,
hello.
That's his name.
Hello.
But yeah, so, I mean, and yeah, go.
Sort of an odd question. Have you encountered any parents of furries that have sort of asked about the fandom and whatnot and sort of want to approach it at arm's length in anything, more so than to be as involved as you guys have been?
We have seen it.
Mm-hmm. We have... Well, there's a local parent that approached us and talked to us about it once they, she found, you know, kind of what we did and went through and did like a marathon video watching with her daughter to learn about it. And she at first did not think that she would want to be part of it. But what we find more often is that parents even wanting to do it at arm's length, once they take that step into it to learn, become more into it than they expected. Like, they get a set of ears. They want to wear it.
That's true. But there will always be those parents, you know, there's one that we really like that their parent is strictly for drop-off. It's transportation only, and they don't participate at the con. And that's okay. I think that even that is still supportive, because you could find that if somebody was a Trekkie or into any other interest, that maybe their parents just don't get it, but they still show their support at arm's length, as you say, but they still provide transportation, they authorize, they...
Well, he is an older teen, he is almost an adult.
Oh, no, so. I wasn't talking about him, but...
Oh. Which one?
I don't want to say.
Oh. All right. Completely understandable, but...
But I think that's my point is, I think it's still supportive, even if you're not jumping in.
I don't think we've had a lot of parents that are willing to tell us they don't like it.
Right. And we would want to hear that message anyway, because they may have a great reason and we don't know.
Well, or they just may be ignorant.
Right.
And I'm not saying that is, they just may not know. And we've asked repeatedly to please have your parents contact us, even if they don't like it, even if they're concerned about it. We want to talk to them. Like, what is that perspective? Because we just don't understand that perspective. And we'd like to.
We would. We would like to know where people are coming from or what it is that's holding them back, so that maybe we could address it and eliminate that issue.
Because more than likely, there's not only one set of parents having that issue. More than likely, there are several parents out there worried about that one thing.
Right.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's completely understandable.
I mean, and with respect to that one thing, for instance, like, how does one actually handle that? I mean, as a parent, like, if you had to have your, you know, kids come up to you and say, you know, what is this, for instance, and they refer to, say, a word like YIF, for instance, or anything close to that, or RP, or LARP, or whichever you want to actually sort of, like, consider, how does one sort of, like, approach that kind of conversation?
It's I think it's with almost, honesty.
Yeah, I do. I feel like with honesty. Surprising when we did our Be Aware, Don't Be Scared, Be Aware video, which addresses those terms, a lot of those terms.
Many of them, yeah.
Many, probably not all, obviously. It's very difficult to do that. We found out that my daughter already knew all of those terms. She knew them for a while, and because she came across them, saw that they were inappropriate things, that's how she monitors what she gets into. Mm.
But doesn't that have to do with you as a parent as well? The very fact of the matter is that you as parents sort of know about these things, and you probably said, like, you know, something along the lines of, like, be aware of when this kind of stuff happens.
Absolutely, absolutely, which is one of the reasons we wanted to do that video in particular, because these aren't, a lot of these are not terms. Now, some of them were just general online safety terms that you should be aware of, but some were.
And I saw that list actually on your website, sorry. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but we did so with the hopes that parents would see them, this vocabulary set, and be aware. And you're right, it does have to do with parenting and being involved and saying, look, this is an adult term. You don't always have to explain graphically, but you can say, this is something that is inappropriate for anyone under 18. And once you get to that age, let's talk about it. As you know, you don't have to be mean or scary or...
Right, but it's like anything else that your kid might find on the internet. You need to be open to having a conversation with them. Honesty is always the best policy. And with respect to anything that my kids have learned, I mean, I've always encouraged them to come to me. I promise I will tell you the truth. I will give you an honest answer. But I don't want you just out there saying things or learning things from your kids,
right?
Or from other kids. So let me be a part of it. And I think that for parents to take that active role, whether it's regarding fandom or not, you need to be involved in your kids and try and encourage them to have conversations. And if they don't feel comfortable telling you I'm a furry, then they're probably not comfortable telling you other things. Yeah. And I think for us, that's the whole point, because if you might say to your parent, I'm a furry, you might say to your parent, I'm pan or I'm gay or whatever it is that you need to tell your parent. And we would hope that parents are receptive to that and not
regardless of what level I am. And we don't want to compare that directly, because those are we understand the difference and
of course
the complexities.
But it just goes to knowing your child.
Right. If you can't say, hey, I'm into this whole furry thing, how can you share anything else?
Right. I mean, so we hesitate for parents to shut themselves off from that.
Yeah. Mm. And I find that to be amazing. I find that that's extremely important, particularly because, I mean, I know my own parents, and I think Scratch knows his parents as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, both of us aren't necessarily on the, you know, conservative spectrum, if we had to say things like that, in respect to our own sexuality, for instance. And those conversations are, weirdly enough, probably easier than telling your parents, hey, look, I'm a furry.
Sort of.
That, like, see, if I had to tell my dad, hey, look, I'm interested in,
this weird
you
thing.
Know, dressing up as a furry.
Dressing up like a mascot, let's call it that.
Yeah. Dressing up like a mascot, for instance. And I still haven't actually told him. I've told him that I'm doing things online and everything like that. And that's something that I tell him, because maybe one day he does listen, and maybe one day he kind of, like, looks at me and goes, I know what you're doing. And I'm like, I'm hoping that that's the kind of passive information that he gets, because, like, it's very, very difficult to have conversations with my father. It's... yeah. that in and of itself is a completely different podcast altogether.
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that, because that's sort of, if we give any advice, it's that, you know, if your parents don't respond the way you would hope they would, bring it up again, bring it up again, bring it up again.
Give them also the opportunity to react poorly at first.
Right.
And then let them process it, and then maybe come back to it another time.
Right. Like Joelle's family has been profoundly receptive, and she has furries now in their
my entire family. Yes.
Yeah, they're totally jumped in. I don't have that same response with my mom. She just, you know, it's not her, but at the same time, it is me. So I keep bringing it up. What are you doing? Well, I'm going to a con. Didn't you just do that? Yes, I did, and I'm going again. So, you know, it doesn't have to be adversarial, and it doesn't have to be a big conversation. But if you just keep bringing it up.
Or just actually, I think a lot of times it's how you approach the subject. If you approach it as if it's not a big deal and it's just a thing, then I think that eventually that's the reception. Hopefully. Yeah. I mean, we hope.
Yeah, exactly. So it's funny. You're doing exactly what we think is the right thing, to just keep, you know, keep bringing it up.
Once in a while.
Maybe it'll sink in.
Look, again, I mean, and all parents are different. I think that, and it's maybe something that I would like to speak about, is that South Africa isn't necessarily as open to new ideas as most people would like to think. I mean, like, we're part of the most sort of like progressive, for instance, like constitution in the world, for instance.
Right.
Large amounts of things that are really, really good to say about South Africa. But in that same sense, the people within South Africa don't necessarily have as open minds in respect to this. And it's very, very difficult to be able to talk to my father, for instance, about something like this. This is the same thing for a lot of other people. And I would love to be able to just, you know, have... Again, maybe this video we can actually sort of talk, sort of tout about... as an introduction for them as parents to be able to listen to, and then move on to Moms of Furries to be able to sort of see the more nuanced opinion. And that's something that's extremely important. Galahad at this point says, if she listens to, we can have an episode with Grand Moms of Furries.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, approached often by moms of furries, parents of furries that say, hey, I'm here too. You know, I've been in this. If you need any information or help or shit.
So, which is wonderful.
It is wonderful. And we've played with the idea of turning this into like a membership thing where we do events together, where we, you know, maybe it's something where parents can meet at a con and say, okay, you know, what are you guys doing? What are we doing? Kind of give new parents, especially, like, a place to sort of land when they get there and get comfortable with the environment before venturing out and exploring.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the parents that we've met have all been fantastic. At our first con in San Jose, we met Kevin, and he was there, like I mentioned, with his little girl and her friend. And I wish we'd had more of an opportunity to sit down and chat with him and just get his perspective and his journey through the fandom, because he was really into it. At PLFC, when we met Halcyon's mom, she was awesome. And I would love to have a forum where us parents could get together and just share our experience and, you know, share what our thoughts were.
Well, but up until this point, we assumed that our channel would reach out more to parents, but I feel like we have more of a relationship and a viewer base from furries.
Yeah.
Instead of the parents. So we are trying to find ways to reach directly to the parents.
We love our young furries.
We have nothing but positive feelings and love for the people that we do have watching us, but we really do want to try to reach out to the parents, because that's where those relationships may shift a bit when it's more parent to parent than, because, you know, it's different to see another parent explain this as opposed to like a furry in suit. Mm.
Because there are cultural issues, there are generational issues, things that the kids wouldn't necessarily know about that would be great conversations for us to have with moms, dads of furries, aunts, grandmas, grandpas of furries, so that we could all get on the same page and feel like we're sharing information appropriately.
All right. And I mean, speaking of things like that, like future projects, what exactly do you guys want to be able to do with all of this?
Well, a future project just in the works right now, we are the youth activity coordinators for Anthro Northwest for that convention in Seattle in November.
And we are planning to have a space for young furries to come and recharge, play games, and it's specifically for young furries.
Right. To come in and just have that moment and connect. So what are our future plans? I feel like we are at a point that we are talking about where this is going to go because we didn't expect it to go where it has. We did not expect it to evolve into what it has become.
Right. We certainly never anticipated that somebody would want to have a conversation with us and record it.
Right. So we're sort of at that crossroads of decision making on how we're going to move forward.
How we can serve the fandom.
Because that is our goal. We want to serve the fandom. We want to definitely continue to support and show the positivity of this fandom.
So we would love feedback from everyone, anyone, to tell us what they think we could do to help further that cause of getting the word out that this is a great community for your kids to belong to, and you can jump in with them. And for instance, one of the things that we want to do is talk about commissions. As we mentioned before, kids need to be armed with the right information if they want to commission any sort of art. So we would like to help make that happen and help those conversations happen with parents, and so that they can start down that path correctly.
Right.
That's also like.
So yeah, you guys have caught us kind of right at the point, like at our tipping point, as far as we're trying to decide how to move Moms of Furries forward, because we definitely feel there is a need for this type of thing in the community. We just want to make sure we're doing the best work possible.
And a part of that, I think, is for us to go to as many cons as we can and meet people, try to meet more parents and have those interviews with parents so they can share their story and keep spreading that message of positivity of the fandom.
Okay. Okay. Obviously, during the pre-interview that we had, one of the things that I do want to actually sort of speak about is the idea of for people who are maybe starting conventions, for instance. I mean, obviously, I've mentioned that we have it's now in its second year. What exactly do you think are particular pitfalls that would happen if you were to open up a convention space for younger furries? Where exactly do you think people should start in respect to that? Like, what is the starting point?
Well, as we were talking, we personally don't have issue with cons that want to stay adult only just because of the liability of maybe children coming without parental consent or maybe getting themselves into situations where they are in inappropriate relationships during these times.
And adults want to have a good time without having to worry about censoring themselves because small children are present.
Right. But if I do think that if you were to start inviting younger furries to conventions, that you do start at the older end of the spectrum, like the 15, 16-year-olds that are the generations that are coming into the fandom, not necessarily the 8 and 9-year-olds. I feel like you don't need to include that age group at this point, and maybe something in the future could just be specifically for young kids. But as far as conventions, I think we both feel that like a 15, 16-year-old is kind of the time that it's appropriate for them to get into any fandom, whether it's Comic-Con or furry convention.
Yes, I wouldn't leave my young child at any convention without being attended by me or their father, just for that reason, because they're young and who knows what they will see. And it's really not for somebody else to watch out for my kid. It's my responsibility. But when they're a bit older, they can spread their wings. This is what we want to teach them, that as they're older, they can become more individual. So I think that for me, definitely I agree, if you were going to start having kids slightly younger so that they can have more presence of mind if they see things that are not appropriate for themselves, just to leave.
And one thing that we really appreciated as parents at the conventions we've attended is the badging process, just as something as simple as that, where the minors mm-hmm. have a different badge, because at the cons we've attended so far, it's been very strict. I mean, there is someone watching in every adult-only area. They're watching for those minor badges. If you have a minor badge, I'm sorry, you can't attend this.
And keep in the dealer's den, keeping art covered that is 18+. I think that it, in those ways, it's easy to be respectful of having children present.
Right.
Yeah. And it's, again, like, I mean, for us, this has been an issue for the past 2 years. Many, many times people have asked us, you know, why aren't you allowing younger furs in? And as many times as we give a reason for that same point, we're given counters on that. And I'm kind of sitting here going, like, if it was about the idea that, you know, we wanted to open up to just being this hyper sexual, for instance, convention, that, like, we wouldn't have considered it in the first place, now would we? It's issues like that where as it makes us seem so unmoving on the point, and that actually sort of it's not something that I could really explain to people if they think that it's because we're being, like, immobile on it. And that's something that I can't, I don't want to, like, tell somebody absolutely not. It's just that logistically,
it's a very complicated issue. And I don't think that there's any right or wrong answer. I think that if you're putting on a con, you're well within your rights to say, this is who we feel comfortable having as our target audience for this con because of con space or because of
logistics,
yeah. You know, so many things. I mean, BLFC is held in a casino. So maybe it's not appropriate for a bunch of little kids to be hanging around a casino. Most of the area is 21+. Right?
Yeah.
So you need to be mindful of that. We didn't see a ton of babies at BLFC. There were a few.
Except at our meet and greet.
At our meet and greet, we saw babies. But
that was appropriate. It was the Moms of Furries meet and greet.
Exactly. But in the con space, there weren't little kids present because, you know, it's not targeted for them.
Right.
It's, I mean, and for me, it's just that idea that, I mean, and maybe rightfully so. I'm not necessarily sure whether it's rightfully so or not, but I mean, it's difficult to take that kind of criticism on the chin all the time, because I would love to have, you know, 14 to 16 year olds, for instance, at the convention, because they're part of the new generation of furries. We want to keep it going. We want to keep it growing.
Yeah.
But I mean, how do you do that when you know that the vast majority of people are part of the, you know, I'll put this in quotation marks that nobody's going to see, first generation of South African furries, for instance. The vast majority of them are anything between, you know, early to late 20s to 40 to 50. And they all have their own particular ideas of how to be a furry and things like that. And it's difficult to then expose kids to that, for instance. It's something that I am permanently afraid of.
And rightfully so. I mean, I think that's a valid concern. But I think possibly if you choose to, even 15, 16-year-olds, you know, make it where it has to be an adult or someone acting as a parent or a guardian attending with, and then you just very clearly label activities 18+ or young furry friendly.
Yeah. And honestly, if you're having enough people ask you to bring their teens, then you could certainly start collecting names, and if you get enough of them, say, like, listen, if you guys want to organize some sort of volunteer effort to help staff activities for kids and watch out for kids and chaperone, then maybe we can consider it. But at this point, it's not something that we can manage with our current con staff. And I think that that's a very fair statement.
That's a very good idea.
I agree.
It's a very good idea. I like that a lot. Asking them, saying, like, and it also gives them a sense of agency. That's something that I want to be able to do. For me, it's actually like it's something that I may not necessarily talk often about, but the idea of giving somebody a sense of agency that they're helping is something that I really, really do want to do. And a lot of people don't see that from a large amount of the conversations that I've had, irrespective of the fact that I have to repeat myself 400 times. I find it so difficult at times because, I mean, I would love the furry fandom in South Africa to grow, and I would love for acceptance within the furry fandom in South Africa to be something that is a non-issue, because as soon as it becomes a non-issue, and as soon as there are people who can respond to things like this, I'm happy. It's not to say if I'm happy, then everybody's happy. No, it's nothing like that.
But you're right. When it becomes a non-issue, then that's exactly what it is. You don't have to have the stress or the concern or, you know, the apprehension of people finding out or having to share it or whether you deciding whether you want to share it or,
Well, and I think that that's something that I learned, you know, this is Carrie, and I talk about my experience with Disney all the time, and Disney is a great company, but they, one of the things I learned when I got into leadership there was don't come at me with a problem, come at me with a solution.
Yes.
So if somebody approaches you and says, I want to bring my teen to your con, say, well, how do you envision that? What do you think we could do? Make them part of the solution.
Right.
And it really, you're not on the defensive, you're giving it back to them. Like, that's really not our... That's not our current focus. How do you see us making that happen?
That's how companies are supposed to work.
Right.
Problematically, isn't that a lot of companies don't work like that? I actually have a question here for somebody in the chat. It's Trace. He asks, how did you find out about your children's interest in the fandom, and how have they responded to your interest in finding out more?
We get that question a lot, actually.
Yeah, me too.
So it's funny. So I'm Carrie. I'll talk about my reaction first. So my son was brought into the fandom by Joelle's daughter. And he came to me and he said something about furry. I think that he said he wanted to make paws. And I said, what? And he said, there's cons and there's this and that. And I said, isn't that fetish? I think those were my exact words. And he pulled up his phone and he said, have you seen YouTube? Look at these dance competitions. And that's honestly the first thing that happened within the first 10 minutes of him telling me about the fandom. And I looked at these dance competitions. There were kids present. Everybody was having a great time. Nobody was humping a chair. You know, it was fine. And I said, oh, this is wonderful. Yeah, let's see how we can do it. And so that opened our dialogue. Then I did my own research. I saw Majira video, that kind of thing. So that's like, it was that quick for me. But I know, Joelle, it was different for you.
It was different for me. So my daughter is an artist by nature. She started, you know, doodling MLP characters at 5 years old. And then it evolved into cats because she was obsessed with warriors. And then it evolved to dragons and wolves. And she came to me and said, hey, there's this fandom I've really considered myself a part of for a while now. And I really want to go to this con. And my husband and I were both like, oh my gosh, baby girl, you're so naive. That's not something appropriate for you. She was, forgive me because everybody calls us wholesome, but she was pissed. She came back with so much information. That's such a small percent of the population. La-di-da. I mean, just days bombarded us with information. And so much so that I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, I don't want to talk about it anymore. And then Carrie came to me and said, look, I've looked at this. This looks fun. Let's do this fun trip. And that's
I love that. It's like you're
once we got there and I relaxed a little bit. And, well, I fell in love. I did fall in love. But I trust my daughter implicitly. She's only shown good choices and response. She's a kid. She does things maybe not the right way a lot, but as far as her overall choices and her view on life, I really appreciate who she is. So when she was so mad, I think my views started, my mind opened a bit at that point. Like, if she is so adamant that this is something, and if she researches the heck out of anything, if she's done her research and she's adamant that this is okay, then maybe I do need to broaden my perspective, open up and look at it a little more deeply.
And then to the second part of your question, how has it changed our relationship? Immensely.
For the better, I would assume.
My teen is cave and hasn't come out, only comes out to eat dinner and go back. And it's different now. I mean, we will go to the fabric store and what do you think? Would this make a good collar? And how would you do these paws? And I've fallen asleep with him wrapping duct tape around my hand while he's making a pattern for a paw. And things that, you know, we were really interacting together. And, you know, we share sewing space now. Well, and it's wonderful for us.
To our kids' credit, they also welcome us in this. They like to share this with us. My daughter just said yesterday that she felt we were starting to drift apart. Like, at that age, you know, she was getting older and we had less to connect with. Or about. Mm-hmm. And now it's amazing because we are on the same page. She'll run up and say, oh my gosh, did you see so-and-so's new suit? Or did you see that auction, or, you know, whatever. And we'll share about that. We'll talk about it. Our opinions, we'll laugh. It's mm-hmm. been phenomenal for.
It really has been. And, you know, fun things that we get to do, like, you know, my son suggested yesterday that we get some spikes to put on the collars he's making. And I was like, great, let's look on Amazon. We'll find some that are silver. It'll look really cool. And I think that's probably a more atypical since I'm a part of it and I know great about it. And the other side benefit that they mentioned, yesterday was they get to do a lot more furry stuff. Yeah. They get to go to more cons.
They get to meet their furry crushes, if you will, or their right. faves.
We commissioned them ref sheets. Like, they're getting a direct benefit of our involvement. But I would say, so one negative that we didn't even realize is that when we went to BLFC, it was all about them and we were the tag-alongs. We went to FurCon. When BLFC happened, so Joelle and I approached it as moths, and the first night that we attended and we brought our furries with us, we still had that mindset, and that was a huge mistake.
The moms
for
of
us.
Furries
we were,
perspective.
Yeah,
and people were coming up saying, are you the moms of furries? Can I get a picture? And we
didn't take any pictures of the kids.
Sorry.
The reputation precedes you, it seems.
We had the presence of mind to correct behavior, but it is that double-edged sword for them, and we always try to walk the line respectfully and check in. Is it okay that we're doing this? Do you feel like this is intrusive?
Right, and we have decided, we've made a firm agreement with them that when we bring them to cons with us, we are taking one day that we are not quote-unquote moms of furries, but we are just their moms, and the day will be about them, and then they will let us have our moms of furries time without feeling slighted.
Yeah, so it that has been interesting for us to navigate that, being who we are, moms of furries in the fandom, and also being their parents.
But in our defense, it was really surreal and overwhelming when people were coming up to us. We're just a couple of moms, you know, and wanting to take our picture and talk to us.
It was pretty cool.
And it was really cool.
But, you know, your daughter was, I mean, she wasn't mad, but she was a little sad that we got to meet Quartz first.
Yeah.
Okay. We got the first time.
But, I mean, that kind of, I don't know, like, jealousy in and of itself is actually something that, like, and it's, honestly, from my side, if I had that kind of relationship with my parents, I think things would have been a lot better. Nostalgia aside, but I mean, the thing is that as a 30-year-old man, there was a point that my parents did not know what I was doing, and I wanted to keep it that way.
Yeah.
It would have been a lot easier to be able to tell them what I was doing and how I was doing things if if I had that kind of relationship with them. And I think
exactly
that, like,
we don't want. We right, want we, to know our kids.
We both, in our, both of our families, we work hard to keep communication open, which is not always easy. Because I'm very emotional and I react strongly immediately sometimes. And
oh, yeah, I fail all the time.
Right. But we strive to keep our children open to discussing. Now, I will say we are not, quote unquote, helicopter parents either. I don't feel I need to be in the middle of everything that my, especially my now 15-year-old is doing. She's needing to navigate. She needs to know how to navigate things.
Yeah, they need to have that separateness.
But I want to be here, so if she doesn't understand something or if she's uncomfortable with the reaction. The other day, she sent something in to me, and she was like, I don't feel like this is okay. And we were talking about it. I'm like, okay, just block that, whatever. But we work really hard to keep that line of communication open.
Yeah, I want to know as much as my boys are willing to share with me.
Right.
Yeah, but that...
Even as a 30-year-old, wouldn't it be nice to, like, once in a while drag your mom or your dad or whatever to the con and be like, you know, have a drink with me, a little bit of fun with me.
Yeah, but that completely boils down to how the parents experience that, or how the parents say that would react to
Absolutely.
It, because I mean, I kind of want to feel like it's the same way that, like, the parent would react to this sort of in the same way that they would react to having the talk, because, like, for me, that was just my dad, like, someone, I don't know who it was, leaving an ancient book, like this yellowed paged guide, like a man's guide into adulthood kind of thing. That thing, yeah. Just leaving it on my bed for me to find. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I don't even get like a face to face. That's how it's going.
Yeah. Oh. Gotcha.
What's it? Your version was probably the Afrikaans version. I got the English version of that.
No, I got the English
every
version
boy
as well,
should
thankfully.
Know.
Is that something like
what,
that?
What every boy should know. It has to be what every boy should know. At 11 years old, you get a book put onto your bed or just handed to you saying, like, read this.
Yeah, and there was no, like, face-to-face.
It was progressive. It was a progressive book. I'm going to tell you that much. Like,
oh,
I mean,
no,
at the age of 11, I'm...
really awkward conversations with my kids.
Well, I will tell you, this is Joelle. I have my eldest child will be 26 in September.
Okay.
And back when he was approaching that age, he said something that he just repeated something that he heard at school. And my husband and I were both like, where in the hell did you hear that? Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. So that was my deciding moment that I said, okay, you know what? From this point on, if you don't understand something, please ask me. Do not pretend to know with your friends, because you may not. Yeah. You know, you may be embarrassing yourself and not even knowing it. So just come to us. And
I've had conversations like that.
I said, you know, when you're comfortable asking me and you really want to know, we'll have an open discussion. Yeah. So he decided on my husband's birthday weekend surprise trip at the hotel that one night to say, okay, Mom, I'm ready.
Look,
he came to you. That's awesome, because you're receptive to it.
And he was really grossed out. But, I mean, we had an honest conversation. And my husband was involved, obviously, too, because he needed both perspectives. But we didn't have to be overly graphic to give him the basics.
It all goes back to just listening with an open mind and responding with an honest answer. And just showing you're invested in your kid, in my opinion. If they are brave enough to come to you with a question or an interest, then we need to be brave enough to take it in stride.
Yeah.
And respond.
Yeah, that's definitely a good way of approaching it. And it's, in all honesty, it speaks a lot about your, like, personality and your willingness to be open and receptive to this kind of stuff. Because I know for sure my parents are not going to be quite as understanding, but I mean, again, that boils down to the individual parent.
I think it's cultural too. If you're from a very formal culture, it's not as easy. You know, if my son were to say something about his balls to test me and see how I respond, then I'm going to just give it right back to him. But that's because we have a very casual culture. So there's something to be said for that environment that you're in.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, and from I'm stuttering currently because like a large amount of these things that I would have loved to be able to speak to my parents about are weirdly enough like sort of catching me on an emotional level that I'm not necessarily sure I was kind of prepared for at any given point, because like I would have loved to have that kind of conversation with my parents. Like I came out to them and my dad sort of like looked at me and he's like, okay, I still accept you. And I'm sitting there going like, great. This is wonderful. Yay. Happy clappy, everything like that. Fuck. And sorry, 20, what was it? I came out when I was like maybe 23, 24. And, it's 6 years down the line. I'm in a relationship with my partner for now, what's it, 2 years almost? Yeah, 2 years. And I told my dad, like, you know, I want to marry him. And it was at this point that my father looks at me and he says, you do realize that gay relationships don't work, right? And I look at him and I'm like, what the fuck happened? When? When was this your reaction?
That like, breaks our heart to hear that. We're sorry to hear that. No. That's...
But, yeah. Well, like, well, yeah.
Similar. I want my children to be loved and to love wholly. I don't really care who. Obviously, I don't care what gender. I mean, that's irrelevant. It's the person. So we really, really are very sad for you and your father, because he's missing out on a part of you also.
Preach, sister. That is it. Because these parents that are, I don't want to say close-minded, but they're not...
As open.
As open, yes. Mm. They are limiting how much of their child's life they're even adult children, how much they're going to be a part of that.
Right. Because going back to the poll that we had, we feel that the 1/3 that don't share this part of their life with their families is probably mostly because they're concerned that they will get a negative reaction. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's a small percentage that just don't want to.
Right.
But I would say the majority of that group are concerned what the reaction would be. And that's very, very sad for us. We want to help change that.
You can't be a furry. I can't tell my friends that you're a furry. I'll be embarrassed.
Right.
Or whatever it is, the thing is that they're sharing.
And we do hope to change. We've heard a handful of people that we've helped, you know, approach the subject and whatnot. But we really do hope, even if it's a small number, that we help that relationship, because the parents are missing out just as much as those kids are.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, sure.
It makes me terrifyingly unhappy. That's sometimes the case. The idea that like you're missing out time with parents that you were supposed to have had, that you were supposed to have. Look, I mean, I could go on and on about the kind of things that I missed with my father, but like the thing is that those are issues. Those are massive issues. I mean, the thing if one thinks about the idea that, you know, you'd never actually played catch with your dad, for instance, or that gets to you. That really does.
Yes.
Dreadnought actually here, I just want to segue a little bit, says, have you ever had a moment when you have to say to your children, I don't want any more information about this.
No, I mean, I've had moments because my furry that got me into this, the 15-year-old, you know, obviously I've talked a lot about her, but I also have a 12-year-old and a 9-year-old, and they consider themselves now strong furries. And we have times that is all I hear. That is the only conversation I hear for hours, and I will stop them and I will say, look, let's not furry for like an hour.
So that's funny. I don't have that at all. I would definitely say that I will take as much as they're willing to give me. I felt, you know, everything always reminds us of our childhood, and I definitely felt shut down as a child. And I know that in one of my early conversations with my son, and it wasn't about furry, I said to him, whatever weird thing you are, if you tell me, I support it. And he said, so I'm weird. That's what he received.
Oh.
And so I realized that, you know, I meant my purpose was to be supportive. But what I said, let him know that what he was not okay. And so I've tried to be really mindful of that, that tell I can handle anything. Please tell me, let me be a part of it. And weird is great. And to not assign any negative feeling towards whatever it is. And my kids haven't done anything dangerous, but if they did, I would say, like, you know, maybe this isn't a great idea because there are safety issues involved in this. But, you know, I want to, they can tell me over and over and over again, whatever stuff that they're interested in. And even if it's not for me, I still want to hear it. I'm going to make a point to always ask and show that interest because I don't want to shut off those lines of communication.
No. And when it comes to true, like, information and communication, sure. I am just talking about the overall chatter.
Oh, I agree. That's true. I mean, and like I said, I have definitely fallen asleep while he was duct taping my hand to make a hand paw pattern. So yeah, there can be overload, but I think that could be true in any
information.
That's just parenting. I mean, you know what, I don't know if you guys have kids, but when your kid follows you to the bathroom, stands outside the door while you're trying to go to the restroom, and
Mom.
Keep talking as you come out, like, yeah, there is overload sometimes.
Right.
But it could be Roblox.
But we like the information. And honestly, I mean, as we said before, we're not really easily shocked. So I think
the
that
internet
has a lot
has
to
desensitized everyone.
Oh, I feel a sense of pride when I can shock my son. I like to give it back and see.
Yes.
Mom was young once. It's okay.
Well, and we do want to keep in mind that these are future adults. These are not just little robots that we created that will always be children.
Mm-hmm.
And our main job is to make sure that they are good, global, responsible citizens.
Yes. I say that all the time. That's funny.
But to do that, in order to do that, I'm sorry, in order to do that is to be honest about the world and let them, I mean, they're going to live their lives regardless of what we want for them. They are going to make their own decisions. So I want to be along for the ride.
All of it.
But I will say, in all fairness, neither of our families are typical families as it stands. We are kind of an atypical. Our kids are in a lot of groups that are not considered the typical kid, right? Should I say that?
But,
you know,
what is typical?
Well, okay.
What is typical? That's
true.
There
is not a normal. That's why we avoid the word normal, because there is no. Everybody is different. Yep. And the ones that try to blend in are normally just hiding whatever part of them they're scared to share.
And we have tried, and I'm sure that you guys have done this too, Joelle. You know, we try to show our kids as much of the world as possible and invite those conversations. We have taken our kids to political rallies. We have taken our kids to pride parades. We have done all of that, you know, everything that we want to do to inspire them to talk to us and know that, you know, there's a whole world out there. See it.
And whatever you're into, kids, there's a group out there for you. Find your tribe.
Yeah, exactly.
You do realize that at this point, I'm going to tell you that I want you to be my mom.
Oh, dude.
That's very
serious.
Yeah.
Okay, it's done. No, honestly, sorry. You guys get all of the good parts of us, but we are regular moms. We fly off the handle sometimes. We nag quite frequently, although we hate it ourselves.
I'm working on it. You know, I said to Joelle yesterday, we strive every day to be the best parents we can be, and then we fail, and we go to sleep, and we start again the next day. You know, we're just human, and we want to remind kids, because we have such a big kid audience. Your parents are just human. This gig is tough. It is hard to be a parent. So if they say stuff to you that's negative when you tell them you are a furry, or if you tell them whatever it is you're telling them about yourself, if they come at you with negativity,
give them a chance.
Yeah, forgive them. Give them a chance. Bring it up again, because it's tough. It's tough to be a parent.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, for sure. You're taking the life of someone else into your own hands and trying not to pass on whatever neuroses you know are lurking in the back of your head onto another human being. Yeah.
So true.
It is so true. And then you feel like you've gone to the other extreme, so you try to pull back. It's very difficult.
And especially kids are perceptive. I'm going to put it out like that. Kids are extremely perceptive to what you're saying and how you're saying things. Mm-hmm. And they will ask you all the awkward questions. Every single damn one of them.
Yep.
Rather they do that than they sneak around.
Yeah.
Rather they do that than they sneak around with it.
I can agree with that completely. Like, I mean, as much as I have like some critical thoughts about my own father, for instance, and especially now recently, the fact of the matter is that the very idea that as a growing teen, I was allowed to do what I wanted to do and how I wanted to do it. I mean, like, you're talking about a person who at the age of like 15, 14, 13, 12, not necessarily 12, but I mean 13 to 14, I would be sitting at a music, like in one of those places that constantly, like a CD shop, and I would be finding new albums to listen to. And the vast majority of the time would be Iron Maiden. And my dad would be sitting there going like, oh, not even sitting there, because he wouldn't be around, but like I would be able to choose my own music. And that was something that I found extremely important for me to be able to do, is that the fact of the matter is that irrespective of, you know, who he is and a large amount of things, and I'm not necessarily sure how I could deal with one thing or another, he was as accepting as he could be. It's only in the older age that things become a little bit more difficult. And I think that, like, parents, grandparents, for instance, maybe could also, like, listen to this kind of stuff. I mean, my dad's he's almost turning 70 soon. And it's difficult to connect at times. And being able to connect and being able to have this conversation with you guys, for instance, makes me far more
helpful.
Understanding, helpful, okay. Yeah, of how things could go, of certain conversations that I should be having. And I'm hoping that the people who are listening are thinking very, very similarly of that. Because, I mean, we want to be open. We want to be able to hear conversations like this. Because if we can't, then what would the point be?
You only have a limited time with each other. That's just the reality of life. And all of these inconsequential things, I mean, they're in our hearts and we love these things, but they're inconsequential in the bigger picture. We should not ever keep these things from allowing us to have that time and really enjoying and an appreciation having an appreciation for the time that you do have together.
Yeah, that was actually pretty emotional for us to hear, because it's just so beautiful that you have that awareness that maybe your dad didn't give you exactly what you would have hoped when you told him about being furry or even about being gay, but he did provide you with a lot of great things to helped you become the man that you are, right?
I'm hoping. those are conversations that probably still need to be had at times. And again, I mean, this is kind of what the furry fandom is, isn't it? It's a group of misfits. Mm-hmm. Like we don't necessarily fit in as well as we should. And we have to be able to have these kinds of conversations with people who know that as well. Like, parents are about as perceptive as kids are in that, like, when a conversation like this exists, that the conversation at least needs to be had, irrespective of whether all sort of parties agree or not. Right. I mean, insecurities do not just base themselves around age. As a 30-year-old, I know this extremely well. Like, irrespective of who or what we are, I still feel like a misfit. And the only way that a large amount of people would be able to figure out whether they're a misfit or not is by talking to their parents. Mm-hmm. If a parent could at least just one point validate that your existence is at some point useful, that's right. Great. That's And we love the idea that you guys are doing what you're doing, because it does, like, for people who are kids, for instance, like, you are giving a reason for somebody to have validation. And I think that's beautiful.
Aww. Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, and we really actually hope to have you guys on again soon. I mean, we're about like we have an hour and a half, but I mean, if you guys want to have any more conversations, please do. In fact, that's actually one of the things that I do want to ask is that do you have any particular conversations that you might have had? Actually, wait, hold on. Galahad asks a question here. Is there any particular practical way for kids to bridge the gap, to make the furry fandom seem less bizarre to parents, and to show it for the harmless fun hobby it can be?
Show more video. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely show them our videos. But I think that Raytown's transition to say, I do cosplay is a really good one. And also, you know, if they're into Star Wars, which a lot of the older generation, you know, my generation, we're into Star
Or
Wars.
at least understand the concept of being into it.
Right. So it wouldn't be weird to say, ooh, I want to get a Chewie suit. But then to say, like, you know,
Or
maybe it's.
approach it like, yes, how what do you know about like the Comic Cons and that fandom, or Trekkies, have you heard about that? Do you know about that? Well, I'm into a similar fandom, but
Right.
it's about anthropomorphic animals and artwork.
Because if you can relate it to any other hobby that does not have a stigma, I mean, nobody would think it was weird if I said I want to get a Princess Leia
Well, they
bikini.
would have hide it.
And get the ears. That's not weird, but suddenly if you want to be a horse, that's weird. So I think that if you, to Joelle's point, to relate it to another fandom or hobby is really.
It's more of a benign way to approach
It is. Cosplay is great. Or if you're into Ren Fairs, you know, Ren Fairs are all about live action role play and costumes and all of that. So, and definitely more mainstream, I think.
I
That's
think
my
so.
guess. I don't know.
But yeah, if you can relate it to that and approach it from that instead of approaching, I'm from this really weird fandom that everybody thinks is fetish. That's not the way to approach it because you're already giving a negative view before you're even launching into I'm part of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Show
I
some of the
think,
beautiful artwork. And, you know, it's
yeah.
great to be able to talk about some of the amazing
The
philanthropy.
philanthropy, yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
definitely.
isn't that one of the, like the first things Uncle Kake said? Like, if you're gonna
Yeah.
try and tell someone what the furry fandom is, don't start off with it's not a fetish thing. Like, don't start off on the back foot immediately.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and you immediately sound defensive. You want to only highlight the things that are great about the fandom and approach it with that positive energy and not in that defensive, like, it's not weird, it's not fetish, it's not strange
Yeah.
stuff.
For
Yeah.
sure.
Well, and there are people that aren't aware of it at all, so you would probably not that in their mind if it's not there already.
Right.
I mean, I think Mr. Rogers probably puts this down in the best possible way. Don't ever give up on yourself or your dreams. You're worthwhile and always will be, no matter what. Just remember to always be who you are because that person is very special. There's no person in the world like you, and I like you just the way you are.
God, can we get Mr. Rogers
Yes.
back, please?
Oh,
I want him back so badly.
He's the best.
Like between Bob Ross, Mr. Rogers, and Carl Sagan, we just need those three people back.
Yes, agreed. And we're old enough to have watched them as they were doing those things.
Yes,
I envy you.
Mr. Rogers, though, a beautiful person.
Yes,
Yeah.
beautiful.
All right. Time to
Yeah.
plug. Time to plug.
It
Where
is,
can we
yeah,
find?
please do.
Yes, please, Moms of Furs. Where can we find any and all of your work? Where can
We
the.
are on YouTube.
Yes, we're mainly
Okay.
on YouTube at Moms of Furries. Yes, and we have several videos, and we would love people to like and share us if they are keen to do so. We are also on Twitter. We are active on Twitter. We are active ish on Instagram. We do have a Patreon page. If someone chooses to be part of that, that is great.
Just as an order, people need to donate to you guys.
Oh, thank you.
I've not found a more worthwhile cause than this
Oh, thank you. And we felt really uncomfortable setting up that Patreon page. It was really hard for us, but all the support that we get through Patreon, we want to put that effort into supporting the fandom. So we really, really appreciate your comment. That's so sweet.
We do. And we are working currently on a podcast. It's actually called the Moms of Furries Podcast, PAWEDCAST, because we're moms. We were hoping to get it out next week, but it seems we're probably going to push it till the beginning of August. And we're just hoping to reach another demographic. Maybe that's how we'll get to the parents more. So that's something that we're going to be doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And we love all our young furries, and we support them, and we want them to know they can always come to us, but we want to reach other parents. So if anybody wants to share with parents, please do.
Yes. And we have our website, which is mofurries.com. You can contact us through there or straight through our email, which is mofurries@gmail.com.
Yep.
I think that's it.
I think so.
Oh, we're on Reddit too, but we really
don't do Did you say Instagram?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Just a couple of odd comments here. Amazing podcast for starters. Thank you guys for being on here. We really, really do appreciate that.
Absolute pleasure.
Absolute pleasure. We would love to have you guys on again when we. I'm going to continue saying you guys, aren't I? Because that's just who I am. Galahad asks for more bad puns. Iris says that you are truly some amazing woman. Trace says thank you so much for this interview. And obviously you guys are on Twitter. At
Moms of Furries.
At Moms of Furries.
Yeah. So for anybody who wants to support them, please do. They are on Moms of Furries. All of their links will probably be there. We really, really do appreciate everything that you guys do. I think that it's absolutely wonderful. And again, if there are any other projects that you guys want to talk about at any point, maybe on our podcast, anywhere else, we would love to hear from you guys again. This was amazing. I'm both inspired and frightened at the same time.
Thank you so much for having us. This has been just amazing for us as well.
Really. I mean, there aren't words. Pretty cool. And we really appreciate you. And Scratch, we hope you feel better.
Yeah. Thank you. All right.
But yeah, well, so...
Yeah, that's going to wrap up tonight, I think. You're going to be playing some music after this, Ivic?
Of course. I'm going to be playing my usual brand of music. Anybody who wants any requests, things like that, you can obviously just request them in chat. And the video should be up either just a little bit later tonight or tomorrow morning at best. But do listen in if you guys did miss out on a whole bunch of stuff. But the thing is that Moms of Furries, we really do commend the things that you guys do. It was absolutely amazing. I am in awe and in tears at times. But thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We are off next week, correct?
Yes, we're off next week because we have
a convention to run.
We have a convention to run. Another thing that I'm going to cry at. Yay!
we hope to one day attend your con.
Yes, we hope that you guys can actually make it. In fact, 3 to 5 years from now.
we'll see when we can start looking for something that's hotel con-ish, but currently it's still a very small affair. But yeah. It's going to be fun.
It's always
fun. Yeah. We shall see you guys in 2 weeks. Have a good evening and enjoy the music after this.
Good night, guys.
Good night.